Today's daf is Brachas Daf Chof Gimel. We are at the Mishnah, 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Beis Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza and Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chil Mechel Yehuda Ben Aryeh. So we're continuing to discuss a halacha that the Mishnah introduced in a Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Chof Amid Beis, and that is about Keri is not allowed to recite Kriya Shema the way an ordinary person is allowed to. The background to it is a Gemara Masechtis, Bava Kama, Da Pei Beis, a Braisa that mentions 10 takonos that Ezra HaSofer, the leader of the Jews at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, instituted, the 10th of which was that a Balkeri has to toivel for Divrei Torah, which the Chachamim seem to understand means that a Balkeri is not allowed to learn Torah unless he goes to the mikvah. A Balkeri can't daven, which means he can't say Kriya Shema, he can't say Shemayna Esrei, etc., etc. So we saw a whole daffin change of Gemara that discussed, number one, some of the technicalities of how exactly Takanas Ezra, also known as Tfilas Ezra, is implemented. You need a proper mikvah. What about Tisha Kabin? We saw the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, which at first glance is a phenomenal chiddush. Tosfos Kasha in Masechtas Bava Kama, Dapei Beis Amid Beis. And that is that he disagreed with the whole Takana, ain divrei Torah, bekabel toma. Regardless, the Gemara is going to continue to discuss these halachas. Somebody was in the middle of davening, Shmoyne Esrei, v'nisker shehu balkeri, and then he remembered that he's a balkeri. He didn't go to the mikvah. So the halach is lo yafsik. He shouldn't stop davening Shmoyne Esrei. Meaning you don't just stop in the middle. Eli yikatzer. Rashi says each bracha he should be makatzer. So instead of davening the full Shmoyne Esrei, he should do an abbreviated version of each one of the brachas. So like this, he'll daven, finish davening quicker. What if somebody went into the mikvah to be toivol, and then when he was in the mikvah, he realized that it's almost man kriya shema, and he's not going to have enough time to get up and to put on clothing, so he'll be able to say a proper Kriya Shema. So what should he do? If it's possible to get up and to say Kriya Shema before this man, which, by the way, the Mishnah defines this man as Neitzachama. The Gemara is going to talk about that. So then that's what he should do. And if he can't, he simply doesn't have enough time. As long as he's covered in the water, that's enough. Not Lekatrila, but that's enough B'dievet for him to say Kriya Shema. However, he shouldn't cover himself with dirty water, or with water that was used to soak flax, unless you add clean water into it, like this, the water won't be dirty. The kama yarchik mehem, how far does somebody has to distance himself from them? The Gemara will define what them it means. And how far does a person have to distance himself from tzoya if he wants to say Kriya Shema? Dalet Amos, he has to be Dalet Amos away. So there's a lot going on in this Mishnah, and as a result, we're going to have a lot of Gemara that's going to discuss a lot of halachos related to this Mishnah. So the Mishnah began with somebody's in the middle of davening Shmoyne Esrei, and then he reminded himself that he's a Balkeri, and he hadn't gone to the mikveh yet. So the Brice elaborates on this. Someone's in the middle of davening Niskeh Shu Balkeri, lo yafsek, you shouldn't stop. Eli Yikatzer, each brach he should make a little bit shorter. What if somebody was a Balkeri? So he's up, and he's the Balkeri, and in the middle he remembered that he's a Balkeri. So what should he do? Einoi mafsik va'ola. He shouldn't stop. Ela migamgeim. Rashi says he should read really, really quickly. The Kore, meaning try to read from the Torah as fast as possible, just to get it over with, so to speak. But at the same time, he shouldn't stop. He should continue. Rameir says, Ein Balkeri rashoi likreis b'toyer yoisem migimol psokim. If you're the Balkeri, then you don't just finish reading the entire Kriya. Stop after 3 psokim. We know the minimum amount of psokim that the Balkeri has to lay in for each aliyah is 3 psukim. So if you chap the middle of the aliyah, as long as you said 3 psukim, stop the aliyah, make a psukim, and find another balkeri. Tanya idoch, hoya imi bitfilo, if somebody was in the middle of davening, v'ro tzoya kenegdoi, and he realized that he's in the presence of tzoya, the Mishnah said, it was the last words of the Mishnah, the kama yarchik mehem umina tzoya dalanamis. He's not allowed to be within dalanamis of tzoya while you're davening. So what happens if you're middle of davening and you see this tzoya? So the halach is mahalich lefonov, you should walk in front of you, meaning stop moving, until the tzaya will be 4 amas behind you. Is that true? You're supposed to move forward. Tanya, we learned in a braisa that you're not supposed to move forward, but rather let's start. Then you should walk to the sides. Which one is it? You go forward or you go sideways? Mar says like kasha. Hada efsher, hada lo efsher. Likatchila, ideal is to move forward. So if it's possible to move forward, move forward. Or if you can't go forward, or what if you go forward, there's going to be motzaya. So then, the next best option is to go to one of your sides. If somebody was middle davening, and he saw that there was tzaya where he was davening, Omar, Rabba said, even though he did an avera, because he davened in the presence of tzaya, it sounds like he should have been careful, he should have inspected the area before he started davening, tefillah, say tefillah, but it doesn't negate the fact that the tefillah is a tefillah, but he doesn't have to daven Shemin Esrei again, his tefillah is a tefillah, maskefle Rava. So Rava said, is that true? The pasuk says, v'hazevach rishayim toyeva. Now, this pasuk is referring to a carbon. That a rasha that brings a carbon, his carbon is not a good carbon. His carbon is tayeva. It's repulsive. It's disgusting by Hashem. Now, if tefillah is our version of karbanos, and a rasha can't bring a carbon, then why is it okay for this person's tefillah to be considered a tefillah? Meaning, it sounds like he should have been more careful. He wasn't. As a result, he's a rasha. So he should fall into the category of zevach risham teva. Elamai, Rava said, hayol v'chata afa pisha hispalo tefillasoi teva. So Rava said just the opposite of Rabba. Rabba said, afa pisha chata tefillasoi tefillah. Rava said, no, hayol v'chata it's actually not a good tefillah. So machlokes b'di'evit, is it a good tefillah or b'di'evit is it not a good tefillah? Tanu rabban, somebody was in the middle of davening, umayim shoyses enal al birkov, and he started urinating while he was davening. So poisek, stop davening, atche yichlo amayim, until you stop. When the area dries up, it gets absorbed, then you should start davening again. So somebody was in the middle of davening Shemayna Esrei, and then he started urinating. So he knew the halacha, he has to stop. So he waited until everything was cleaned up. Now it's time to start davening again. So what do? You pick up from where you left off, or do you have to start from the beginning? You go back to the beginning. No, you just pick up where you left off. Says the Gemara, it would seem at first glance that maybe this is totally in the following machlokes. The Mar Sovar im shokidei ligmar is kula chayzel rosh. Umar Sovar lemakom shapasak. There's a machlokes if somebody's mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. So this has nothing to do with someone that urinated per se, but somebody is in the middle of Shemin Esrei or he's in the middle of Kriya Shema and he was mafsik. So the halach is as follows. If he waited the amount of time it would have taken him to finish davening Shemayna Esrei, then he's choizel erosh. There's another man number that says, no, it doesn't matter. Even if he was shock, he waited so long, his hefsek was that long, that he could have finished Shemayna Esrei, he still continues. So it's first glance, says the word, is this the machloikis? Meaning, we're talking about where the person waited so long that he would have been finished Shemayna Esrei already. There's a shita that holds that you're supposed to be chayzal arayish. There's another shita that holds you don't have to be chayzal arayish. So maybe that's this machloikas between Rav Chizda and Rav Amnuna. But Amar Rav Ashi said, I don't think so. Because if that's the case, hayim shayim loy shami bayalei. He should have said that. Meaning, if the only time the amir that held chayzal arayish was where you were mafsik so long that you could have finished Krishma, he should have said that. He should have been clear that only if you were shaya that long. It's mashma no. It could be both Amayram agree that if he would have been mafsik so long that he would have had enough time to finish my Nasre, he for sure has to start from the beginning. Like one of those two shittas that the Gemara just mentioned. This machlekes was where he didn't wait that long. The Mar Sava gavred the chuyuhu ve'ein ra'oi ve'ein tefilasoi tei. But one man dama held that the person himself, being that he had to go to the bathroom. How do you know he had to go to the bathroom? Because he ended up urinating while he was davening. So clearly he had to go. So the gavra, the person himself, there was an issue with him. And as a result, even the tefillah that he davened before is a problem. That's why he has to daven again. Umar Sava Gavra Chazyahu would philosophy. Other Mandama says, no, that once he urinated, there was an issue. But just because he had to go to the bathroom, that doesn't mean that his tefillah is a problem. As a result, there's no reason that if you weren't mafsik so long that you could have finished my Nesrei, that you shouldn't be able to pick up where you left off. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that this machloikis between Rav Chizda and Rav Amnun has nothing to do with that other machloikis that somebody was mafsik. There's a machloikis if someone's mafsik in the middle of Shemayin Esrei. So you dive in Shemayin Esrei, and then you stop. For whatever, you had to stop. So you stopped in the middle of Shemayin Esrei. Now you can resume. So the question is, do I pick up where I left off? Do I start from the beginning? So there's a shita, there's an opinion that holds that it depends how long you were mafsik. Was it kidei ligmar eskula? Was it not kedei l'gemara's kula? That's where you have those nuances. Says the Gemara, that's not what the shayl is. The man d'amah that holds that you chayzel roish is not because he holds in hilchas hefsek. You have to be chayzel roish. He doesn't care about the hefsek. You know what the point is? The reason you have to be chayzel roish is because the davening that you davened in the beginning wasn't a good davening. How do you know? Because he had to go to the bathroom then. And such a tefillah is considered a toyeva. Tanu rabbanon, hanitzroch l'nekavah. If somebody needs to go to the bathroom, al yispalo. He shouldn't daven. The in his palo, like we just said, tefillah soy toyeva. His tefillah is not a good tefillah. Amrav zvid. V'itemi rabbi Yehuda loy shonar l'shen yachol lishis ba'atzma. This is only true if when he had to go to the bathroom, he had to go so badly that he had no way of holding it in. He couldn't contain himself. Avlam yachol lishis ba'atzma. But if he could control himself, tefillah soy tefillah, it is a tefillah. V'adkama. Okay, so what's the rule? What's the halacha? Rav Sheshes said ad parsa, which usually means 72 minutes. So if somebody can wait 72 minutes before he goes to the bathroom, then if he's allowed to daven, and certainly b'diyevet if he davens, his tefillah is not going to be a tayeva. If he needed to go on the level that he couldn't wait 72 minutes, that's where it's going to be an issue. So the first version of this halacha is a braisa. If someone needs to go to the bathroom, he shouldn't daven. If he davens, tefillah say tayeva. The Amiron commented on this braisa. It's not always true. It depends on how badly he had to go to the bathroom. Others had that asterisk not from the Amiran, but rather in the Brisa itself. The Brisa itself said, when is this halacha true? That if somebody needs to go to the bathroom, and he doesn't, this tefillah is a tefillah. So the Brisa said it. That's kishen yochel lamed alasp. That's if he can't control himself. Avim yochel lamed alasp, tefillah say tefillah. Va'ad kama, there the Amiram chimed in. Amir Abzvid, ad paris. It's the same halacha. The question is, was that caveat mentioned by the Brisa itself, or was that caveat Rab Zvid in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, meaning did it come from the Amiram? Omer Rab Shmuel Nachmeni, Omer Rab Yoinasan. And Nitzruch Lenakavov, again, somebody needs to go to the bathroom. Raise lo yispalo. Mishum Shanemar, how do you know that he shouldn't daven? Because the Pasik says, it's a Pasik in Amos. He coined Likras Olekech Yisrael, that you should prepare yourself before you daven. What does prepare yourself mean? Make sure you're ready to stand in front of the king. When a person davens Shmein Esrei, he's supposed to think that he's standing in front of the Melech Malchei Amlochim. So you have to act the part. So you have to go to the bathroom, prepare yourself. What's pshat in the following pasuk? This is a pasuk in Koheles. So the entire pasuk reads as follows: Shmar raglecha kasher telech el beis olikim v'korev l'shmaya mitesak silim zevach ki enam yoidim last yisrael. The Gemara is going to darsh in every word in this pasuk. Shmar raglecha kasher telech el beis olikim. What does that mean? Shmar atzmecha shloi techta. Be careful. Don't do averus. Meaning the first part of the pasuk. Shmar raglecha means don't do averus. V'im techta. Let's say you did an avera. Have a carbon lefanai. You should bring a carbon. Meaning those are the next words. Kasha teleichel beso alikit. So number one, shmar raglecha. Try not to do an avera. Now you did an avera. Okay, go to the beis hamikdash. Bring a carbon. Kasha teleichel beso alikit. What's the next part of the pasuk? V'karev l'shmaya. Amar Rava, heavy karev l'shmaya d'ri chachamim. You should listen to the chachamim. Shem chayte mevim karben v'oisim tshuva. Do what the chachamim do. When the chachamim bring a karben, they don't just bring a karben. They don't just hand over the chatas to the kohen and say, bring my chatas, bring my yasham. But rather, they also do tshuva. Mites haksilim. That's the next words. Zevach, meaning al tehik ksilim, don't be like the fools, shechaitim, umevin karbin, vein oisim tshuva. So basically what the pasuk is saying like this, try not to do an avera. That's for sure the first option. If you do an avera, go to the Beis HaMikdash, bring a karbin. When you bring a karbin, bring the karbin the way the chachamim bring it, and don't bring it the way the ksilim bring it. The way the chachamim used to bring the karbin is they used to do tshuva. They understood a karbin without tshuva is not a karbin. Don't do what the ksilim did, which is they would bring the karbin without doing tshuva. Now, what are the last words of the pasuk? Ki einam yoidim laso yisra. They don't know how to do bad. Now, who are the last ones mentioned in the pasuk? The ksilim. Don't do what the ksilim do. Ki einam yoidim laso yisra. Fake the gemara, the way we just explained the pasuk. Ihochi tzadikim nenu. If it's going back on the fools, so then they're not fools, right? They're fools that don't know how to do bad. So you have to tweak the drush a little bit. Again, the beginning of the pasuk is the same. Shmar raglechon, don't do an avera. If you did an avera, kashatel chabesalikim, bring a carbon. And when you bring a carbon, the carb l'shmaya, bring it the way the chachamim bring it. Do tshuva. Don't do what the ksilim do. What do the ksilim do? So in the first pshat, what the ksilim did was they just simply don't tshuva. They don't do tshuva. Here, what it means is altiv ksilim shechaitim uvim carbon. They have no idea. Im ala toiveh meviim, im ala rohe meviim. They don't even know why they bring a carbon. Are they bringing a carbon toyda, like they're thanking Hashem, or maybe they're bringing a carbon chatas, a carbon asham, are they a nazar? Like they have no idea what carbon they're bringing. That's the point. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, when somebody brings a carbon and he doesn't have the kavana, being toiv l'ra inam avchinim, v'heim avim carbon l'fanai, they have no idea if they're bringing a carbon for a good thing or for a bad thing. And this is called a carbon. How does the pasuk read now? The karev l'shmaya, listen to the chachamim, mites haksilim, rather than the fools, zevach, ki einam yoydin l'asashah, because they have no idea when they're bringing a carbon, if they're doing a good thing or if they're doing a bad thing. What does this have to do with what we're learning? Because the Gemara brings another pshat in this pasuk. Rav Ashi, v'tem Rav Chanin, Rav Papa Omar, you know what shmoy raglucha means? Not shmoy raglucha, don't do an avera, but rather related to our sugya, shmoy nikavecha, b'shosha ta'oymed b'tfilo l'fanei, watch your feet, meaning that area of Oisei Mokoyim, while you're davening, Shmoy Raglecha Kashetelech HaBeis HaLikim. When you're going to the Beis HaLikim, you're going to daven, Shmoy Raglecha, because there's an idea that if someone's Nitzrach L'Nekavav, he needs to go to the bathroom, and he davens, his tefillah is going to be a toyeva. Just one ha'ara before we continue, and that is that the Gemara said that if a person brings a carbon and he doesn't do tshuva, so that's the zevach of the ksil. It's the zevach of the fool. And the truth is that the Rambam speaks about this at length in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva. So if you start learning Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva, Shchedesh Elul maybe, but if you start learning the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva, so literally, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, V'chein bali chatois v'ashomois, people that had to bring a chatas or an asham, be'eshem evim karbon eseyem, al shigigasan, al yazdoinam, when they would bring their carbon, ein mischapelem v'karbonam, at sheyasu tshuva. They didn't get kapar unless they did tshuva. Then the Rambam continues. V'chei mechuyovei mises besden. If somebody was chayiv mises besden, u'mechuyovei malkus, or somebody was chayiv malkus, ein mischar pelehem misosan, oy belukiyos. Imagine, a person already got mises besden. Doesn't matter. He doesn't get kapara. Actually, you have to tshuva. You have to do tshuva. V'chei nachoyvel b'chaveiroi, oy amazik mamoinoi, or if somebody hurt somebody physically, or he damaged him, he stole from him, he still has to do tshuva. There's an idea that all the mechaprim that you find, whether it's a carbon, whether it's malchus, even if it's mises besed, or it's just a monetary payment, a fine, you need to do tshuva. Without tshuva, it doesn't start. Then the Rambam says there's one exception to the rule. There was one exception. There was one thing that was brought, one thing that was done in our history on an annual basis that had an ability to be mechaper, even for a yid that didn't do tshuva. That's the Sar HaMishtalech. The Sar Lazazel, the Sar Mishtalech, says the Rambam, that was mechaper on Averis Kalois, not on Averis Chamurois, but on Averis Kalois, Afa Pisha Asa Tshuva. And then the Rambam says, Umahin HaKalois, Umahin HaChamurois. So what are the Kalois and the Chamurois? HaChamurois, Heino Averis Shechayovan Aleh Mises Bezden Akaris. That's something that Yichai Mises Bezden Akaris. V'shav, and Shfu HaShav and Shfu HaSheker. V'shav Mitzvahs Lois Aseh, U'mitzvahs Aseh She'em Ben Karis Heino HaKalois. You want to know what we're missing because we don't have the Sar HaMishtalech. The Sar HaMishtalech had an ability to be mechaper on Aseh's and Lois, with the exception, literally, of Chayvi Misas Bez, then Karas and Shvua Shav and Shvua Shekhar. Everything else got kapara. Even if a person didn't do tshuva when he brought the Sayer HaMishtaleach, Zog de Gemara Vaiter, Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going to shift gears a little bit. And this is very much Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'isa Inyan. And the Gemara is going to discuss if somebody needs to go to the bathroom, he's wearing tefillin. What's the halacha? Does he have to take his tefillin off? Assuming he has to take his tefillin off, where should he put his tefillin? Like, could he take it with him inside the bathroom? And really, in order to understand the next sugya, because there's going to be a lot of halachos that at first glance are going to seem very surprising, so you have to appreciate the context of the times. Things are very, very different. Number one, once upon a time, people were tefillin the whole day. We don't wear tefillin the whole day. But once upon a time, everybody wore tefillin the whole day. So because everybody wore tefillin the whole day, you were always wearing tefillin. So you went to work, you were wearing your tefillin. You were handling with somebody, you were wearing tefillin. It didn't matter where you were, you always had your tefillin on you. A yid always, just like we wear tzitzis the whole day, people wore tefillin the whole day. That is the way a yid looked once upon a time. So from a practical standpoint, these halachas of how to deal with tefillin wasn't just negeya an hour in the morning. This was a very, very practical halacha. That's number one. Number two, once upon a time, they didn't have bathrooms the way we have today. So if somebody had to go to the bathroom, they had to go to an outhouse, which very often was out in the field. It was a place that was deemed dangerous. Number one, there were animals. Number two, there were listin, bad guys. Number three, there were mazikin. So a bathroom was considered a place that you know, you had to be careful when you went to the bathroom, which is also something that colors these halachas that we're about to learn. Another thing that we're going to see is that there were two types of bathrooms. There was what's called a Beis HaKisei Kavua and a Beis HaKisei Aroi. And the way the Beis HaKisei Kavua and Aroi played out, the Beis HaKisei Kavua was used primarily for Gedolim. So if somebody had to go to the bathroom and he was going to have to be there for a little while, Tzoya Gedolim, so he would go to a Beis HaKisei Kavua. If somebody had to go Ketanim, Meiraglayim, he just had to urinate, so he didn't have to go to a Beis HaKisei Kavua, but rather he needed a Beis HaKisei Aroi. Where were the Beis HaKisei Arois? Sounds like from the Gemara they could have been anywhere. Point is, if someone had to go to the bathroom, so as long as it was somewhat private, he would go to the bathroom. And what happened was that place would now become a Beis HaKisei Aroi. It was a Beis HaKisei Aroi just by virtue of the fact that this person just used that area for him to urinate. So with that, hakdama zok de gemara, tanu rabbanon, a braisa, nichnas a Beis HaKisei. If somebody is entering a Beis HaKisei, choylitz tefillah, he should take off his tefillin first. Not only should he take off his tefillin, but berichuk talad amis, he should take it off 4 amis away from the Beis HaKisei. So don't take it off in the Beis HaKisei. Don't even take it off within talad amis of the Beis HaKisei. There's a covered of the tefillin that you should have, that within 4 amos of where the Beis HaKisei is, you already shouldn't be wearing your tefillin. The nichnas, and then you can walk it. Now, notice the braisa didn't say what you should do with your tefillin. Could you be nichnas with the tefillin? You have to put it somewhere. So that's going to be the majority of the daf. The Gemara is going to get to that. But for now, it's the simple halacha. You shouldn't walk in wearing tefillin. You take it off, and you should take it off when you're within dalan amos of the Beis HaKisei. Amrav Achamarafuno, Amrav Sheishas, Loi Shonal Beis HaKisei Kavua. This is only true for a Beis HaKisei Kavua, Aval Beis HaKisei Aroi. If it's a Beis HaKisei Aroi, Choylet, Venifna La'alter, then you should remove it, but Nifna La'alter, meaning it's, this halach of Dalin Amis is only true if it's a Beis HaKisei Kavuk. So Yoytze, when you leave the Beis HaKisei, Marchik Dalin Amis Umanichon, you too shouldn't put it on right away. I mean, now you're putting it back on. So don't put it on right after you leave the Beis HaKisei. Rather, walk Dalin Amis and then put it on. And that's true even if you went to a Beis HaKisei Aroi. And the reason is, Mipnesha Asoi Beis HaKisei Kavuk. Because once you use this Beis HaKisei Aroi for Gedolim, you, in essence, make it into a Beis HaKisei Kavua, so now it has the same halacha. And if the halacha Beis HaKavua is you don't take your tefillin off, you don't put it on within Dalet Amos of the Beis HaKisei, so that halacha is going to be true, says the Gemara. So we have a halacha, again. It was a braisa, and Rav Sheshes clarified the braisa. If somebody's walking in to a Beis HaKisei Kavua, and he's going in for Gedolim, that's important for this halacha. He's going in for Gedolim. So the halacha is, within Dalet Amos, he shouldn't put his tefillin on, he shouldn't take his tefillin off. Make sure you're with outside the perimeter of Dalet Amos from the Beis HaKisei before you do anything. That's only true for Beis HaKisei Kavua, not for a Beis HaKisei Aroi. However, if you use the Beis HaKisei Aroi, then afterwards it gets a din of a Beis HaKisei Kavua. So in terms of putting the tefillin back on, you have to wait to Dalet Amos again. Iba ilahu, maishi, konos ot betfillin, le Beis HaKisei Kavua, lahash demayim. What if somebody's going into a Beis HaKisei not for Gedolim, but lahashtin mayim, fiktanim, he's going to urinate. And the question was, could a person walk in to a Beis HaKisei Kavua wearing his tefillin to urinate? He's not even taking his tefillin off. He's walking in. Now, it's interesting because we just said that the Beis HaKisei Kavua is so chomer that not only can you walk in wearing it, you have to take it off, dalan amas away. It seems like that was only if you're going in for Gedolim. But it matters why you're entering the Beis HaKisei. Because over here, you're going in to the Beis HaKisei Kavua, lahash demayim, and the question was, mau sheikones betfilov, Rashi says clearly, kishehem beroishai. Meaning, could you walk in while you're wearing the tefillah? Says where Ravina Shari Ravina said it's okay. Rav Adar Bar Masna, Asa, he said it's not okay. Asa shadu l'rava, they asked Rava, Amalu, he said, Asa. Why? Chayshina shema yifna behem, v'amilo shema yafich behem. Not because there's something wrong with urinating in your tefillah per se. That's not the point. The point is, we're afraid that while you're urinating, maybe yifna, you may have to have Gedolim, maybe a fiach behem. The point is, it's because of a gzeira of Gedolim that this halach is true. Another braisa. Somebody's entering Beis HaKisei Kavua. Chaylitz tefillah brachah dalet amos. You have to take your tefillin off 4 amos away. Umanicha mechaloi and put them in a window. Hasamach l'shus harabim. Meaning, assuming there was a wall that separated the Beis HaKisei Kavua and the Rishus HaRabim. And there was a window like a cubby. what was facing the Rishus HaRabim side and what was facing the Beis HaKisei side. So you should put the tefillin on the Rishus HaRabim side, v'nichnas, and only then you should go in. When you leave, marchit dal ramis, same halacha, you wait dal ramis, and then you put it on. Beisil says, no. Oichsam biyadei v'nichnas. There's no reason to leave your tefillin outside the Beis HaKisei. If you want to take the Beis HaKisei inside with you, you can. Meaning there's a halacha that you can walk into a Beis HaKisei wearing your tefillin. But there's no halacha that says that you can't walk into the Beis HaKisei with your tefillin. So Beis Shammai was Mekel, Beis Shammai was Machmer, and Beis Hillel was Mekel. Beis Shammai says that you can't take the tefillin into the Beis HaKisei Kavua with you. You have to leave it in the cubby, which one? Facing the Rishus HaRabim. Beis Hillel said, no, you can walk in wearing it. You can walk in holding it. Rabbi Kiva says, what you should do is, you should put it inside your bag. Put it in your bag. It sounds like you like put it in your, shirt. It's going to fall. You should hold it in your hand, but don't expose it. It should be underneath your baget. The nichnas, and only then should you enter. Or another option Rabbi Akiva gives, when nichem b'chayrin, you should leave it in a kabi, but not facing the Rishus HaRabim, but rather asmuchin the Beis HaKisei. Dafka facing the Beis HaKisei. V'loya nichem b'chayrin asmuchin the Rishus HaRabim. And Rabbi Akiva said, I dafka want you to do it this way. Not like Beis Shammai said, that it should be facing the Rishus HaRabim. I don't want it facing the Rishus HaRabim. You know why? Shemi yitloy some every drachim, because I'm afraid that somebody might steal it. So what, someone's going to steal it? It's not because tefillin's expensive and you're going to have to figure out how to buy a new pair of tefillin. No, because I'm afraid of chshad, says the Gemara. There was a story. There was a Talmud that went to the Beis HaKisei and he left his tefillin in the chayr that was some of Klishus HaRabim. Bas zayin achas, a zayin came. V'natlus on it, she took it. Bas the Beis Medrash. And then she walked into the Beis Medrash. V'amra, and she said, Re'um anasan li ploini b'schari. Said, there's one person over here that paid for my... For me to be mezana with her, and this is with him, and this is what he gave me. My reward was, he didn't have money, since then he gave me my tefillin. Kibbutz Shammai, it's a Talmud, that wasn't true. The Talmud heard about this. He was so distraught. All of the Reish Hagag, he climbed to the top of the roof and nafal umes. That it's okay, meaning it's not so simple to just leave your tefillin out. You're out somewhere, somebody could steal it, so what? It could come with the echshad. So it's for that reason, you could even bring it inside with you if you want. The meaning was that they used to leave the tefillin in the cubby that was facing the Beis HaKisei. And you know what happened? Achbarim, you're out in the field, mice would come and they would take the tefillin. So they said, put it in the area, face the Rishus HaRabim. Problem is, then people would steal it. So you're stuck between the mice and the people. If you want, you can take it into the Beis HaKisei. It's not a problem. Rabbi Yasho, Rabbi Shul ben Levi. Rabbi Yasho, who's Rabbi Shul ben Levi's son, said, halacha. What's the halacha? Something else. You could bring it in with you. However, you should wrap it up, the way you wrap a sefer, Hagba Galila. Hold it in your right hand, connected libay against your chest. You just have to make sure that your hand is covering all the tefillin, it's the batim, and even the ritzuos. You can't even have a tefach of ritzuos protruding from outside your hand. This halacha that we said that it's okay, b'di'evet. And at some point it sounded like maybe that's even the lekatchila thing to do, to walk into a Beis HaKisei holding your tefillin. This is only if you're going to put your tefillin back on. Meaning there's still time in the day. So it's in the afternoon, you wear your tefillin the whole day. You're going to take it off. You know you're going to put it back on, so you don't have to go through the tircha of doing any more than what Chazal just prescribed you have to do. Let's say it's already late in the day, and you're going to take your tefillin off, and you're not going to put it back on. So then already, it's not so simple to just walk into a Beis HaKisei with it. What should you do? Put it back in your talazakel. That's what you're supposed to do. Islam kimin kiss, tefach umanichan. You should have a kiss. It should be at least a tefach, and that's what you're supposed to put. Amar Abba Bar Barchan Rabbi Yoicharon. Biyoim, goyulon kimin sefer, umanichan biyodai kineged lipoy. Like Rabbi Yasha, the son of Rabbi Shulman Levi said, ubalaylan at night, Islam kimin kiss, tefach, umanichan, then you have to put it inside this kiss. Amar Abaya said, this that we said, that the talus bag has to be a tefach, that's loishanu ella bikli shehu kelyon. That's only if it's a talus bag that's miyuchad for the tefillin. Like we have. You have a talus bag. You don't use it for anything other than the tefillin. So be that all you use it for the tefillin, it has to be at least a tefach big. But if you're going to put it in a keli, you have like a shopping bag that you're going to put it in. You put a suitcase. So if that's what it is, afilu pachas mi tefach. Even if it's less than a tefach, it's also going to be okay. What's the difference? So Rashi says, because the talus bag is bottle on some level to the talus and to the tefillin. So it's not such a mafsik, as opposed to if it's some foreign thing that you're putting it into, so that's mafsik. So if it's the talus bag, then it has to be more chashiv in order for it to be mafsik, it would have to be a tefach. So then if you put it into a bag that's a tefach, you could walk into a beis hakisei with it. Another halacha with this is, again, you could put it on the floor maybe. But if it's pachas mi tefach, nah. If, however, it's a kli she'ein a kelyon, it's not its keli, it's not miyuchad for the, then the halach is, afilu pachas mitefach, omar mar, zutshuvi temer avashi, teida. I'll prove to you that a keli could be chashuv, even if it's less than a tefach, and as a result, in the world of tefillin, it could be mafsik, it could allow you to take the tefillin into a beis hakisei, or put it on the floor, shari pachim kitanim, diya pachim kitanim, matzilim oylames, you see, small pachim is matzil for oylames. So if anything is in a room when a person dies, that anything will become tameh, becomes tameh to masoil. What if you have something that's inside a keli? So if the keli is sealed off, then it protects the thing that's inside of it from becoming tameh to masmeis. That thing is protected, even if the keli that it's in was pachim ktanim, meaning even if it's smaller than a tefach. So you see, a keli that's smaller than a tefach is chashuv. It could be mafsik for tumas oil, for tumas meis. Certainly, it should be mafsik to allow you to take your tefillin into a bathroom or to maybe put your tefillin on the floor. So why then do you need a tefach? Oh, because if it's its own keli, then it's bottled to the tefillin. But if it's not kelyon, then even if it's pachas mi tefach. I was once following Rabbi Yochanan. He wanted to go into the beis hakisei. He had enough tzifrit agadata. If he was holding a sefer, so Rabbi Yochanan needs to go to the bathroom. He's holding a sefer. So he would give it to us to hold for him. Meaning he didn't want to take the sefer inside. He had enough tefillin. But if Rabbi Yochanan was holding his tefillin, lo have a yavlon. He wouldn't give it to us. He would walk into the Beis HaKisei, l'katchila, with his tefillin. So I don't understand. Rabbi Rahman said, you give me the svarim, I'll take the tefillin also. The tefillin you think has more kedusha, right? It's tashmisha kedusha tefillin. Of course it has more kedusha. So why are you giving me that the sifrei agadata, but you're not giving me the tefillin? I'm asked. Rabbi Yechon said, no. He said, because here the Rabbanon said it's okay. There was a psak halacha that you could take tefillin into a beis hakisei. There was no halacha that you could take a gemara into a beis hakisei. So as a result, Rabbi Yechanan said, when a person goes into the beis hakisei, he needs shmira. Rashi says, from the mazikin. So he felt that once the chachamim said it's okay to take your tefillin into a beis hakisei, I might as well walk in with my tefillin and get the protection. For a sefer, there's no such halacha. Amar Rava, Rava said, I observed the same thing by another Amor. Kev was leader by Sri Rav Nachman. Kavinov, because if I got it to Yavlan, if he was holding a sefer, he would give it to us the whole. Kevin, not a tefillin, but if he was holding tefillin, lo Yavlan, he wouldn't give it to us. Amar, he would say the same thing Rabbi Yochanan said. Hoyo v'sharunu, being that the Rabbanan said that it's okay, in the natural, I might as well take it with me to get the protection. Tanu Rabbanan. A person shouldn't hold tefillin in his hand, or sefer Torah in his arms, v'yispalel and daven. Additionally, v'lo yashtin bohem mayin, you shouldn't go to the bathroom while you're holding tefillin or a sefer Torah, v'lo yishem bohem, nor should you sleep next to them, lo yishinas kva, v'lo yishinas aray. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, sakin, a knife, umois, money, ukaara, a plate of food, the kikra and a loaf of bread, hareelu kayoitzman. It's referring to the first halacha, that lo yoichas adam, tefillin, the sefer Torah, v'yispalel, the same is true for a knife, money, a plate, and bread. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Sheishas, eis hilchasa, ki hamas nisa, said Rava. That I heard from Rav Sheshes, that even though we just mentioned the Braisa, that lo yoichas adam tefillin biyadoi, v'sefer Torah b'zrayoi, v'yispalel, v'lo yashtin bohem mayim, v'lo yishmem lo yishinas kva, v'lo yishinas aroi. That loch is not like this Braisa. You know why? Because I know that Braisa is Beishamai. Now, which part of the Braisa was he focusing on? And which part of the Braisa did he know was Beishamai? V'lo yashtin bohem mayim. The halacha that you think is the most obvious, which is that a person shouldn't urinate when he's holding his tefillin. Lo yoichas adam tefillin v'yashta b'mayim. It's not true. What did we say before? You can go to the bathroom holding your tefillin. It could be it's even like a tchila. Di beis hillel hashta beis hakisei kavua shari. If you go back and you work out the different shittas that the Gemara mentioned on Amud Aleph, beis hillel allowed you to walk into a beis hakisei even kavua.
As long as you're going lahashtin, if you're going for gedolim, you have to take it off 4 amos away from the Beis HaKiseh. But if you're going in for ketanim, then it's okay. So you see clearly, you could even hold it. So it's not true lo yashtin behemayim. Must be it's going according to Beis Shammai. Who is Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai was also mentioned on Amud Aleph, where Beis Shammai said that it's not okay to walk in holding your tefillin. Remember, it was machlokes. What do you do with your tefillin? So Beis Shammai says, leave it outside. And then there were other shittas. You can take it inside, facing the Beis HaKiseh. Beis Shammai wanted it facing the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But the only shita that we saw there that held that it sounds like Pasha can't take it into the Beis HaKiseh, that was Beis Shammai. So Rava said in the name of Rav Sheshes, this braisa that says, lo yoichas adam tefillin, the yashtin bohem mayim, as intuitive as it would seem, is really wrong. Leis hilchasa kavase, because it's Beis Shammai, and we know we never paskin like Beis Shammai. Freik the Gemara. Is that true? Is that true? Meisve dvarim shehi tarti lecha kan or sarti lecha kan. A braisa that makes a very cryptic statement. It says there are things that are mutter here that are also there. Now, where's here and there? So we're talking about Beis HaKiseh. That's the context over here. And that's what this braisa means. So there are things that are mutter in one Beis HaKiseh that is aser in another Beis HaKiseh. Says the Gemara, what exactly does this mean? There's going to be a few formulations of what exactly this line might be. My love, doesn't it mean tefillin? It's referring to tefillin. How so? Yeah, Rabbi Shlomi Beis Hillel. Rabbi Shlomi, if the braisa is going according to Beis Hillel, I'll tell you what it means. Hitarti l'chokan kavua. Even though Beis Hillel said in Amud Aleph that you're allowed to walk into a Beis HaKiseh kavua, because remember the braisa of Amud Aleph was talking about a Beis HaKiseh kavua. So you can walk into a Beis HaKiseh kavua lahashtin mayim fiktanim while you're holding your tefillin. So it's mutter to go into a Beis HaKiseh kavua and to be mashtin mayim. Osarti l'chokan. I said it's going to be also here in a Beis HaKiseh aroy. Meaning, if you say the little cheshbon here that the braisa that we just mentioned that said lo yoichas adam tefillin biyadai v'sevi toyer b'zroi v'yispalav lo yashtav b'mayim is really going according to Beis Hillel. Meaning Beis Hillel holds you're not allowed to urinate while you're holding your tefillin. Then I understand this braisa. Meaning the braisa says it's a very big chiddush. Dvarim sheitarti l'chokan asarti l'chokan. Even though Beis Hillel said on Amud Aleph, which was Rava's argument in the name of Rav Sheshes, that you can walk into a Beis HaKiseh kavua and urinate while you're holding your tefillin, but as it relates to a Beis HaKiseh aroi, it's not going to be okay, which of course is a chiddush, because it means that a Beis HaKiseh aroi is more chomer than a Beis HaKiseh kavua, which doesn't really make sense. It's counterintuitive, which is the whole punchline of the braisa. Dvarim shehitarti l'chokan, even though I said it's mutter in a Beis HaKiseh kavua, still it's going to be usher in a Beis HaKiseh aroi. That's all good if Beis Hillel taka holds that it's also to be mashed in mayin in a Beis HaKiseh aroi while you're holding your tefillin. But if you're going to tell me that this aforementioned braisa is Beis Shammai, it can't be Beis Hillel, because you're talking Beis Hillel says you can walk into a Beis HaKiseh kavua holding your tefillin to urinate. I'm an aleph. So certainly it should be true in a Beis HaKiseh aroi. So what does this braisa mean? Beis Shammai always says that it's awesome. Beis Hillel always says that it's mutter. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, like, that braisa, it's true, it's talking about a Beis HaKiseh, and it's making a chilek between a Beis HaKiseh kavu and a Beis HaKiseh aroi, but it has nothing to do with the halacha of tefillin. It has to do with another halacha, the halacha of tefach and tefachayim. One tefach or two tefachim. That is the Tani Chodin. It's one braisa that says, kshu nifta, when a person goes to the bathroom, so he shouldn't fully expose himself. It's a derech of tznius not to fully expose yourself. So how much can you expose? So kishu nifta megalol achrav tefach, from behind oisay makom he can be megalot tefach ulufan of tefachayim, in front of him he can be megalot tefachayim. Tanya is going to another braisa, la achrav tefach ulufan of loyklom, la achrav a tefach and lufan of nothing. Now, two things. First of all, the halachas of the braisa are not the same, so you have a contradiction. And not just that, which one more, which one less? In the first braisa, it's la achrav tefach ulufan of tefachayim. It can be megala more in front. In the second braisa, it's la achrav tefach ulufan of loyklom, less in the front. So the Gemara says, my love, what's going on over here? How do you reconcile these braisas? Probably idi v'idi b'ish. They're both referring to a man who's going to the bathroom. V'loy kasha, kan l'gdoilim, kan l'ktanim. If the person's going to the bathroom for ktanim, so then la achrav tefach ulufan of shteit fachayim. If he's going to the bathroom only gdoilim, not ktanim, then it's la achrav tefach, it's l'fun of loyklom. Okay, pause for a second. What does it have to do with us? We have a braisa, dvarim sheitarti l'chokan, asarti l'chokan. Between two types of Beis HaKiseh. The Beis HaKiseh kavua, the Beis HaKiseh aroi. The Beis HaKiseh kavua was used primarily for gedolim. The Beis HaKiseh aroi was used primarily for ketanim. Something is mute here, that's also there. You know what it's referring to? It's referring to kiyabim megala l'fonof. It's mute in the Beis HaKiseh aroi because it's used for ketanim. It's also in the Beis HaKiseh kavua because that's used for gedolim. So it has nothing to do, says the Gemara, with tefillin. It has to do with how much you're allowed to expose yourself while you go to the bathroom. And as a result, this one line, this cryptic statement in the Braisa, Dvarim Sheitarti L'Chakane, Sarti L'Chakane, is not a raya that this Braisa that said, Lo Yoichas Adam Tefillin, V'lo Yashte Behemayim, is going according to Beis Hillel. You could say it's going according to Beis Shammai, Lo Mayin Afkamina. If you're holding cheshbon, what Rava said in the name of Rav Sheshes, leisulchas akiyam asniso tebeishamehi. But the Gemara interrupts, and the Gemara says, "How could you tell me that this brisa is talking about, or both brises are talking about a man? One brise is discussing how much he can expose himself when he's going for ketanim, one for gedolim. If it's ketanim, two tefachim in front, one tefach in the back. If it's gedolim, nothing in the front, one tefach in the back. Ibe ketanim laachrif tefach lomeli. If it's Kitanim, why should he expose himself at all in the back? Doesn't make any sense. Eli, Edivid, you have to say Bigdolim. Both brises are talking about Gedolim. V'loi kasha, and it's not a kasha. Habi ish, v'habi isha. One brise is talking about a man. A man for Kitanim would have to expose himself in the front, and Isha wouldn't have to expose herself the front, even for Kitanim, since for that reason, the halacha, she can be Megala Tefach Lachrav, Ulufan of Eloi Klom. Iyachi, Freyti, Gemar, Hadik, Tani, Allah. So let me ask you a question. If that's what the brise means, and that's the dvar m'sheitarti l'chalkan, or sarti l'chalkan, it's referring to an isha, that the chilek is she going ktanim or gdoilim, then afkamina is, could she be megala l'fanov, then we have another statement that was said on this braisa, and that is, quote, zeu kal v'chaymer she'in olav tshuva, which seems to be suggesting that the halacha in the braisa doesn't make sense. Meaning, dvar m'sheitarti l'chalkan, or sarti l'chalkan, really makes no sense. Because in the world of kal v'chaymer, which is the world we live in, it's one of the 13 midas shatayr and adreshes, man. It really doesn't add up, says the Gemara. I don't understand. Mayin alav tshuva. Why this halacha makes perfect sense? Darkei demilsa hachi isa. It's perfect sense. For gedolim, you have to. You don't have to expose. So the whole halacha makes perfect sense. Elo, says the Gemara, lav tefillin, must be talking about tefillin. And the chilik is between a beis akise kavua and a beis akise aroi. And dvarim sheitarti l'chakan, even though it's mutter to be holding a tefillin when you walk into a beis akise kavua, it's not okay to be holding a tefillin when you walk into a beis akise aroi. And that's precisely what the braisa means when it says zeu kal v'chaymer she'in olav tshuva, because it really doesn't make sense. Why should a beis akise kavua be any more cooler than a beis akise aroi? And if that's the case, the braisa that says it's not okay to be mashed mayim while you're holding a tefillin is going according to beis hillel, for tiufta the rav amar rav sheshes tiufta. And if that's the case, rav amar rav sheshes, who said leis hilchasa, that loch is not like the price, because the price going to Beis Shammai is really knocked out. But the Gemara says, I hear, very nice. But mikomakim kashto. What's takav shat in this halacha? Hashta beis akise kavua shari beis akise aroy lakolshkin. What's takav shat? So beis hillel holds that you could take it, fill it in with you to be mashed in mayruv to take it to for in a beis akise kavua. Banana a beis akise aroy, says the Gemara, hachi kama beis akise kavua the leka nitzoytzes shari, because in a beis akise kavua a person sits. Because he sits, there's going to be no meiraglai, and the urine's not going to be on his body. Beis akise aroy the ikon nitzoytzes, he's going to walk out with urine on his body. There it's actually more chamer asri ihachi. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going in circles. And my anal of tshuva. So why is there no tshuva? You're telling me that it makes no sense. You just gave me a svara. So it does make sense. Tshuva mal yisahi. So what's the kasha that it doesn't shtim with kal v'chaymer? It does, very nicely. The Gemara says, hachi kamar ha milsa teisi la b'toyres time. It makes sense. Meaning, if you understand the reasoning, you could understand it. For v'loy teisi la b'kal v'chaymer. But don't try thinking in terms of kal v'chaymer. The asi la b'toyres kal v'chaymer. Zeo kal v'chaymer she'en olav tshuva. I ain't rashi. But the point is that from a kal v'chaymer standpoint, it really doesn't add up. You want to know halacha l'maisa? Doesn't make sense? Of course it makes sense. Tanu rabbanu. It's more on the topic of a person going to the bathroom. All right, so the kana is the suda's kva. If somebody wants to walk into a suda, and he doesn't want to have to interrupt the meal to go out and use the bathroom. But the problem is, he's trying to go to the bathroom. It's a gaitnish. So what should he do? So the braisa gives us an idea. Mahalich asara pabim dalet amos. Either you should walk 4 amos 10 times, right? Do 10 reps of dalet amos. Oy dalet pabim yud amos, or the reverse. 4 times 10 amos for yifne. Like this will loosen his bowels. He'll be able to go to the bathroom. And then you could go into the meal. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Kanichlus a sudas kva. If somebody's entering a sudas kva, choylitz tefillah. You should take off your tefillin. Take off your tefillin before you enter a suda. Why? because at meals they used to drink wine, and you know, you can get a, it's inappropriate for a person to be in a state where he's under the influence of some sorts while he's drinking tefillin. Incidentally, you find that b'mei Chazal, sometimes a meal was referred to as a suda, and sometimes a meal was referred to as a mishnah, the first mishnah, right? When Leo's kids came back from a beis hamishnah. So what's the difference between a suda and a mishnah? A suda is where the meal centered around food. A mishta is when it's centered around mashka, where it's centered around wine. So a person is entering, here it says, a suda, but either way, hanichnas l'sudas kvai, even a suda, maybe that's the chiddush. If you're walking into a base of mishta, this is obvious. But even if you're walking into a suda, you have the same halacha. So chaylitz tefillah v'achach nis, please, Rav Chiya. This is not like Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya said, don't take your tefillin off before you walk into the meal. No, walk into the meal with your tefillin. I'm here for my dinner reservation. Then, manichan al shulchan, you should take the tefillin off, you should leave it on the table. That's the nice way to do it. Okay, now you're not supposed to be wearing your tefillin during the meal. At what point should you put your tefillin back on? Until benching. Meaning, before benching, put your tefillin back on. Tani chada, tzair adam tefillin ma'isah. One b'raisa that says that a person's allowed to take his tefillin and he could wrap it together with his money. So let's say you had like something that you used to use, a kerchief, to wrap your tefillin. So can I put my money together with my tefillin or no? One said that you could, but Africa susai. That's the kerchief. The Tanya Yiddish is another price that said, lo yotzer, that you shouldn't do it. So which one, could you or could you not? Like, it depends. Was this kerchief miyuchid, it was designated for your tefillin, or it wasn't designated for your tefillin? If it was designated for your tefillin, then it has like a kedusha, don't put your money together with it. If not, it's fine. Rav Chizda, said this. I suju the tefillin, the azmane lemeitz with tefillin. If this sudar, this kerchief, was set aside for tefillin, and sarbe tefillin, two conditions. You have to check off two boxes. Number one, it was set aside for tefillin. Number two, it was physically used for tefillin. Then the halacha is also lemeitzav abshuti. You now put money inside. Asmenei velo tzarbei, if you only set it aside for tefillin, but you never used it for tefillin. Or tzarbei velo asmenei, or you use it for tefillin, but you never set it aside for tefillin. Shari lemeitzav abshuti. Then it's okay, you can put money in it. Abaya says, the Gemara Asmona Milsi. Abaya has a sheet in Shas that says when you designate something for something, it's as if you already did it. Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. That's the source to Abaya's halacha. Oireg beged le mace. If somebody weaves a beged for a mace, so we know that tachrichin, the beged of the mace, was aser bahana. What if somebody wove a beged for a mace, but it was never physically put on a mace? So Abaya holds that it's already aser bahana. Hazmana milsi. So according to Abaya, afa gafta leit sarbe, meaning once you're asmene, even if you didn't physically use it for tefillin, it already has kedusha. Certainly tzarbe, and if you used it, I asmine aser iloy asmine loy. Says the Gemara, by mine Rav Yosef v'rei, Rav Nuchunyam, Rav Yehuda, Malshi aniach adam tefillin tachas marash oisav. Could a person lie down and put his tefillin underneath his head? So we talked about going into a beis hakisei holding your tefillin. We talked about walking into a meal with your tefillin. What if somebody's lying down? What do you do with your tefillin? So could you put it underneath your head? Says the Gemara. Rab Yosef asked, B'reid Rab Nechunya asked this question of you, but he clarified. He said, Tarchas Margalois like we buy. I know you can't put it underneath your feet. Why? Shinoi ben Mirgi Zayin, that's inappropriate. Kikami Baili Tarchas Mirashois, what about under your head? Ma, Yomalesi, told Nahachi Mashmal, tell you what Shmuel said. Mutter, it's okay. Afilo Ishtayimai. Even if the person's wife is with him, that still the halacha is, it's allowed to be underneath his head. Meisavei, afraid the Gemara. Hakachmul said that. Is a mafurish abraisa not that way? Lo yaniach adam tefillin tachas margalois. You're not allowed to put tefillin underneath your legs. V'mneishin nagim merik design. It's considered inappropriate. Avo merikat tachas marashois. You can put it under your head. V'maisish te'imoi. If your wife was with you, aser. It's aser to put it underneath your head. Hayamachim shugavai gimel tefachim. Let's say you had something that protrudes from your bed. It's a little higher. It's not on the same plane as the bed. So it's three tefachim higher. Aynamach gimel tefachim. Or it's three tefachim lower. There it's mutter. Bottom line is, it says clearly. Shmuel said, "Afilu ishtayimai mutter." Here it says, "Mafurish if ishtayimai it's also." Zok the Gemara, "Tiyufta de Shmuel." Tiyufta, you're right. You have a brayser not like Shmuel. Shmuel was an Amira, one of the greatest Amiram of all time. It doesn't matter. He can't argue with a Mishnah. Rav Tanu Balik. Rav's allowed to argue with a Mishnah. Not Shmuel. Not even Rabbi Yochanan. And as a result, if you have a brayser not like Shmuel, so it's Tiyufta the Shmuel Tiyufta. Amar Rava said, I forgot to tell you Tiyufta the Shmuel. Even though we just said Tiyufta the Shmuel Tiyufta, but Hilchas Akavah said the Halacha is like my time. But what's the reason? Kol Inturinu Tvei Adif. Because I understand it's inappropriate to have fill in your bed if Ishtoi is Imai. But at the same time, why is this person doing this? He's not just doing it for Hefkeris. He's doing it because we see it. It was dangerous to just leave your tefillin around. The mice could take it. People could take it. He's trying to protect it. Rava said, as much as it's a bizoyan to have the tefillin with you in your bed, but at the same time, I think it's worse to lose your tefillin. And as a result, you should have. Says, okay, if someone's going to have tefillin in his bed, so weird, underneath his head, which b'di'evet it seems is certainly okay. So how exactly should you do it? I'm Rabbi Yirmiya. So this is the fine print. This is the halacha. Ben kar l'keses, it should be in between the like the mattress and the pillow. Shaloi kereged roishe, but your head shouldn't physically be. So assuming you have a white pillow, it should be under the side of the pillow that your head is not on. Don't literally put your head on top of the tefillin. Feiti gemara, is that true? Vatani Rabbi Chiya taught manichan b'koiva tachas mirashoy. So it's okay for it to be under your head. Where it says no, the mabuk le the moshe the koiva l'ba. It's talking about with this kova, whatever it is, this kiss was a little bit to the side. It wasn't physically on the head. Bar kapara tzayli bekilsa. Bar kapara used to take the drapes that were around the bed. So he would take the drapes umapik le moshe l'ba. He would put the tefillin inside it, so it was part of the bed. But it was the curtains on the side of the bed rather than on the bed itself. Rav Shesha Bereda Rav Idi Manuch Lashar Shifa, he would put it on a footstool. Uparu Sudri Lavayu, and he would cover it with a soda. Amar Rav Amnuna Bereda Rav Yosef. One last Gemara. Zim Nechad Rav Kimna Kameda Rav was once standing in front of Rav. Family, and he told me, Zil Aisi Li Tfilin. He said, go bring me my Tfilin. Vashkachtinu, and I found it. Ben Karla Kesach, Loki Negadrosh. It was on his bed. Vahava Yadana, and Rav Amnuna Bereda Rav Yosef says, I knew for a fact to Yom Tfilah Havoy that the night before Rav's wife went to the mikvah, which means that it was ishtoi imoy, and still the tefillin was there. And I also realized that ulag murinan halacha lemaisu da'avid, that Rava knew that I knew, and Rava told me to get the tefillin anyways because he wanted me to know this halacha. Which halacha? That it's okay. Now the truth is, it was Rava l'shitasai, because Rava said on the bottom of Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis that afal gav t'tanya tiyufta de Shmuel halacha kavaseh. Shmuel was the one that said it's okay even ishtayimai, and the Gemara knocked out Shmuel. But Rava said even though the Gemara said tiyufta de Shmuel, still the halacha is like Shmuel, and Rava was the one that said it. But Rava wanted to show his Talmidim, not only is it the halacha, but I even fear it that way. So like, there's no Indian of maybe Bal Nefesh Yachmer with this, that I myself, Rava, the Rebbe said, this is a kula that I've personally invoked in my whole life, XL. So just to end, it'll literally XL. One, with one ha'ara, and that is, so again, the back round of the last few dafin has been Takanas Ezra. One of the things that we saw on Daf Chav Beis Amid Aleph was that the Gemara said that the Tanoim issued a tremendous kula within the world of Tfilas Ezra. And that is that a Balkari that wants to learn Torah and he is observing Tfilas Ezra, he doesn't have to go into a proper mikvah. Rather, Balkari shenosnu olav tisha kabim mayim tahar. As long as 9 kabim of mayim went over his head, he took a shower, quote unquote, that would be enough. He wouldn't have to have a proper tefillah. And then the Gemara said that Nocham Ish Gamzu lochashol Rabbi Akiva. Nocham Ish Gamzu once whispered this to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva lochashol Ben Azai. And Rabbi Akiva whispered it to Ben Azai. Ben Azai himself, there's 2 versions of what happened. One version is Ben Azai did the same thing. He whispered it as well. But the Gemara has another version. No. Ben Azai yotza v'shona l'tomitov. So Nocham Ish Gamzu didn't want to be mefarsimit. Even Rabbi Akiva didn't want to be mefarsimit. But Ben Azai went and he was mefarsimit. No, he told everybody about it. And the reason he told everybody about it was because he was concerned about Bittul Torah and about Bittul Piri V'Rivya. He was afraid that there may be a man that's not going to want to be Meshamish Mitasai. Why not? Because he understands that afterwards he's going to be a Balkari. And a Balkari can't learn Torah, he can't even daven, and maybe it's hard for him to find a mikvah, or maybe he's not going to have time. So as a result, he'll just be mevatel period verivya. So Ben Azai didn't want bittel period verivya. So he said, "No, I want everybody to know that you could be meshamish mitascha as long as you have tisha kabin. That's something that's much easier for a person to figure out, and as a result, you won't have a problem." So Nocham Ish Gamzu whispered it. Rabbi Akiva whispered it. Ben Azai went out and he told it to the world. Again, what was his reasoning? His reasoning was bitl perivirivya. Now, the truth is that when we learned Masechtas Nida, so we spoke out that this idea of bitl perivirivya you find in Chazal was very, very chomer. The makar to it is the Gemara Masechtas Erevin Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that Yeshua ben Nun never had any sons. And it was a punishment, the fact that he didn't have sons. And the punishment was because when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, so there was one night that he was mevatel Klal Yisrael from Piri V'Rivya. What happened was he made the Yidden fight Milchama, and because they were fighting Milchama, the Aroin was in their midst, and because the Aroin was in their midst, there was an Nisa Bittel Piri Verivya. What emerges then is that he was Mevatel Klai Yisrael, Laila Achas from Piri Verivya, and the Gemara says, you see how Chomer it is, Bittel Piri Verivya, Afilu Laila Achas, it's a Lashon of Chazal, and Yeshua Benu was punished for that. The punishment was that he didn't have any sons. So you see, there's something very Chomer about Bittel Piri Verivya. We mentioned then that the Sha'arim is son of Malacha, from Shon Zalman Braun, and his Akdama, in his Kitzesh Shulchan Aruch, in Chelek Dalet, the Hilchas Nida, he says that he thinks that's the rest of the story, that's the pshat in the Gemara, in the Sechtes Brachos, Daf Dalet Amar Aleph. So when we learn Brachos Daf Dalet Amar Aleph, we didn't have time to speak this out. But the Gemara over there says that David HaMelech turned to Hashem and he said, Shamra Nafshi Ki Chassid Ani. Why am I a chassid? He said, look at the difference between me and all the other kings. All the kings, what are they busy with? They're busy with all their shtusin. V'ani yodai melechleches bidam b'shviru v'shvilya k'dei letaher yishal abayla. I get myself dirty. Bidam nida tumas yeledes letaher yishal abayla. And then Rabbi Yehuda in a tshuva famously said, he said, why did David HaMelech say that I'm doing this letaher yishal abayla? Why the Tari Shalabailo? He should have said, I'm doing it to determine whether the woman's mutter or the woman's asr. If I care, if she's asr, she's a nida, it's chayvi krisos. What was the emphasis of the Tari Shalabailo? And then Yehuda in Yerudeya Kama Simon Mem Gimel says that you see from here that Dovin Amelech's in Kavana was Latari Shalabailo. That was his intention. And the Sha'arim Mitzan and Balacha, Rishon Zalman Braun says that this is the makar that you find a lot of poiskim when it comes to Chaznida, they have a kayach that Tera. They try to be makel. They learned it from David HaMelech, this night of Yehuda, that David HaMelech nishtabach shayu yada meluchlachis b'shviru b'shulya l'tayri shal abayla v'loy shibchu shayu meluchlachis l'tamei yoysam im t'meya hi l'avdila me'ovei nido elo shayoysa ashvach l'taher mil'tamei. And he said this as a haktama to a huge kula that he issued in Hilchas Nida, the night of Yehuda. But that's the point. What's this inyan of l'tayri shal abayla? Why? So it says Reb Shlomo Zalman Braun, I think it's this Gemara Erev and Daf Samach Gimla Mebeis Pito Piri Verivya. So I thought it was interesting. But Nochem Ish Gamzu wasn't sensitive to the Bittel Piri Verivya. Rabbi Akiva wasn't sensitive to the Bittel Piri Verivya. You know who was sensitive? Ben Azai. You know, Ben Azai, the Gemara says, never got married. They came to Ben Azai and said, how can you not get married? It's the first mitzvah in the Torah. Pruvu, Miluas Aretz. He said, Ma Ese, Vazol Echtad, Shenafshi Choshke B'Torah. I love learning so much. And I can't get married. I can't. There's one version in the Gemara says that he really got married. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter. And the Leil Chasan, he was Pirish. After the Bir Rishayna, he was Pirish, and he never lived with his wife again. And the Gemara says that, you see, Rabbi Akiva's daughter had the same fate as her mother. Because her mother got married, and the husband, Rabbi Akiva, went away for 24 years. Rechila basa rechila, the Gemara says. But either way, the Pasha Rabbi Akiva, Benazai never got married. Why did he get married? Ma'esa shenafshi chashki utayr. Believe it or not, this statement of Ben Azai is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Right in the beginning of Ben Azai, it's Simen Aleph, Hilchas Piri Verivya, Sif, Kot, and Dalit. Mi shenafshi chashki betayra ki Ben Azai. Ben Azai is mentioned in the Halacha Shulchan Aruch. If someone loves learning so much, like Ben Azai, by the way, it sounds like it's possible. Right, you think, how's it possible? How could somebody be Nafshe Choshke B'Torah like Ben Azai? You read this Adairus, it sounds like it's possible, right? This is not a Hilchas Olam Mashicha, this is a real halacha. Mishe Choshke Nafshe B'Torah ki Ben Azai Tomid V'nidbak B'Kol Yomov V'loi Nosa Isha Ein B'Yaday Avoy. It's only if he can control his Yetzar. But as long as he can control his Yetzar, it's okay. This a halach and shulchan aruch, Eben Ezer, Simen Aleph, Sifkot and Dalet, it's the halach of Ben Azai. So Ben Azai never got married, and Ben Azai is the one that was worried about Bittel Piri Verivya. It's amazing. Nochem Ish Gamzu was, no, Lochasha. Rabbi Akiva, he whispered it. Ben Azai said, no, even though Ben Azai is a Talmud Rabbi Akiva, who's a Talmud Nochem Ish Gamzu, he had a Masorah from his Rebbe and his Rebbe's Rebbe. But he felt, no, I want to tell the world. You know why? I'm worried about a shtickle Bittel Piri. Ben Azai was Mevatel Piri Verivya. Ben Azai is literally an exhibit in shulchan aruch. He has a right to not be oisik a Piri Verivya. But I think it's a toys. I think it's just the opposite. It's hein hadvarim. You know, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that after 120, B'shoshim Achnis and Adam Ledin, they ask him a few questions. Nososim and Asata Be'amuno? Kavati Itim LaTaira? Asakta B'Piri Verivya? Tzipisi LeYeshua? Pilpalta B'Chachma? Hivanta Dover Mitech Dover? Shabbos Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The third question is, Asakta B'Piri Verivya. It says the Masha, why that Lashon, Asakta B'Piri Verivya? It should have said, Kiyamta Perivarivya. Why asakta? So the Chidon, as Pesach Inayim says, it's Pasha why it doesn't say Kiyamta. Because the person can't control if he's going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. The only thing he can control is to be Isaac at Perivarivya. Beyond that is really out of his control. But the Masha asks this Kasha, and the Masha gives a different teretz. Says the Masha, Loi Omar Kiyamta Purvu, Elo Osakta, Dahainu Lahasi Yosef Yosoima. Because you know what the question is? Not did you have a ben or a bas? That's not the question. The question is, were you Isaac and Perivarivya? Did you help other people? Did you help people find the shidduch? Did you help people find children by Ne'olam? The point is that it's a sakta b'perivirivya. The question is not kiyamta b'perivirivya. It's a sakta b'perivirivya. Ben Azai never got married. Because Ben Azai never got married, he was never mekayim the mitzvah puruvu. So you know what Ben Azai felt he wanted to do? He wanted to be Isaac b'perivirivya. You're right, he wasn't mekayim. It's precisely Ben Azai the shitasa. It's because Ben Azai wasn't mekayim the mitzvah puruvu. So you know Ben Azai felt? Nochem ish gamzut gata mishpocha. Rabbi Akiva had a family. But Ben Azai didn't. And Ben Azai felt that I need to go out of my way. Marabayim didn't have to. Ich darfes. Because I precisely didn't have my own children. So what did Ben Azai do? He was oisik beperi virivya. How was he oisik beperi virivya? By going out with a cold koire. He told the island there's something called Tisha Kabin. Mishon bito peri virivya. It's not a kasha. Why Ben Azai? It's precisely Ben Azai. I think it's Ben Azai l'shitasa.